you by WHTC Sports Boosters Nathan Box Attorney, Hoffman Electrical Services, Googs Pub and Grub, and tune in for the Crown Motors pregame report and Pulse Jewelry Halftime Show, and the Paragon Bank and Trust postgame show. We are the voice of Hope College Sports, 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin. And we're the WHTC Computer Guys.
Tune in Saturday mornings from 8:30 till 9 and call in with all your computer questions.
We're here Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
Are you running on empty?
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Cam.
And we're the Computer Guys from Macatawa Technologies. We'll be here for the next hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions. Kevin is out of the country for the next two shows, including this one.
That's what that awkward little silence was.
That's right.
That was Kevin missing.
So give us a call, 395-1450. We'd love to answer your questions. The advice this morning is free, and the phone lines are open. So give us a call now, 395-1450. And if you're too shy to call in, but you have email, send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com. We check that throughout the show, and it's also checked during the week if we're not able to get to it. But we do save those up for the shows when we don't get as many calls. And if you don't remember that link, go to the website, whtc.com. If you go there right now, you'll see our pictures on the front page.
Not mine.
Well, Cam's not on there, but you click on the picture, and it'll take us to a spot where you can email us directly. So WHTC.com, or give us a call now, 395-1450. Morning, Cam. Another fine Saturday
morning
out there. Feels like April.
That's right. Hey, what was with that shameless plug before the show there?
You know, they mess up sometimes with the recordings.
Yeah.
It pulls randomly, and every now and then
it grabs one
of your own.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's start out
with
a little bit of news here. We've heard about, you know, people get worried about they have their credit cards on computers or, you know, too much information and different things like that. Is that something that worries you, Cam?
I'm slightly worried about that because I use the same username for a lot of different things.
Okay.
And then I use a very similar password. So,
well, I think we all are guilty of that. Well, this is about personal data being stolen from companies who are supposed to manage this stuff. One company is the famous one, Choice Point, which was made famous by losing 50, all kinds of company or personal information. So here we have they're going to pay to settle privacy claims. $15 million. That's what the Federal Trade Commission says Choice Point will have to pay to settle charges that it violated both consumer privacy rights and federal laws. The data warehouser has revealed that its huge database of consumer information has fallen into the hands of thieves. $10 million of the payment will go to the FTC in form of a fine, and the other $5 million will go to compensate consumers. The CEO of the company tells the Associated Press he hasn't considered stepping down from his post over the data theft. However, Derek Smith says he does regret what happened, and that kind of goes in hand with another company here where personal data was swiped from a stolen laptop that was in a car. So here we go again, another scare for people who have the personal information stored with a financial institution. This time it's customers of Ameriprise Financial Incorporated who are getting a serious case of the willies. The company says more than 225,000 people have had their names and other personal data stolen. Where was all this information stored? On an employee's laptop computer that ended up being swiped from a worker's vehicle. Mayor Price says 68,000 current and former financial advisors had their names and social security numbers stored on the computer. In addition, some 158,000 clients had their names and internal account numbers exposed by the theft. So far, Mayor Price has received no reports that the data lost and the theft has been used improperly.
Wow. So is the theft being used properly or something? Like,
I guess.
What was with that last sentence there?
Yeah. Well, it's just who knows? Maybe a thief stole it and they pawned it off at the nearest pawn shop.
They might have been like, sweet, I got a good laptop.
That's more than likely what happened.
And then deleted all the data.
More than likely what happened, yeah. They didn't realize that the laptop itself was maybe only worth $500, but the information was
probably worth
hundreds of thousands of dollars with all those social security numbers and everything. So, but it's just, you know, we have stories like this, but overall, computers are safe. technology, all your information. A lot of people are worried about, you know, hackers breaking in and stealing their information or getting their credit card numbers, but...
And there is protection built in for if that happens for someone, right?
A degree? I'm not an expert on that, Cam.
You know, I'd like to know. But
well, I think it depends on what credit card it is. And I mean, there's laws against a lot of this stuff, too. So it's not like these companies can just write it on a piece of paper and let it sit around. So
that's true. Yeah, I got one. I think it's kind of cool. This is from a while back, but oh well. Notebook hard drives get bigger. You know how they do that, Dave?
They add vertical. More memory?
They go vertical.
Oh.
It's called perpendicular recording. While you may not understand the technology behind it, you will sure be able to appreciate it because it will make it possible to store more stuff on your notebook-sized computer. It's technology being used in new drives by Seagate. The new approach to storage causes bits of data to be stored vertically rather than horizontally. This means you can put more programs, music, and other data on the notebook hard drive. In the past, disk drives makers were able to max out the space of the hard drive by making magnetic particles to record data smaller and smaller. But if the particles get any smaller, they can begin to interfere with the magnetic fields of the particles close to them, wreaking havoc on data. The first of the new drives from Seagate is being shipped out today. It can hold 160 gigabytes compared to 120 gigabyte disks that until now were the largest of the bunch.
So it doesn't actually, the hard drive size isn't getting larger. It's not going to take up more room inside your laptop. That's a little confusing. It doesn't sound like it.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's an exact duplicate of a drive that we'd have now.
Hmm.
It just stores things vertically and it's still horizontally.
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, you only have so much space inside a laptop, and the problem is people want these things to keep getting lighter and smaller.
Right.
Which, I mean, I guess eventually, maybe one day we'll have...
Flash
memory or
that's
something.
That's like the lightest solution we have now.
So, that's kind of cool.
Like oxygen molecules.
They're always, you know, it's competition drives innovation.
True.
You want to have the biggest laptop hard drive? You're limited by size. Better figure out a way.
Right. This is true.
So hopefully they get a good patent on that so they can sell that and Seagate can make a few bucks off it.
Seagate. Well,
right. That's who's manufacturing it.
That is correct. Who's manufacturing it?
You know, here's another innovation that I don't think we ever talked about on the show, and I don't have all the details, but it is a cool camera. People often ask me information about recommendations on digital cameras. Problem is that they change so often that it's hard to be specific.
Are you thinking the credit card camera?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about Kodak has a new camera that's going to be coming out. It may already be out. I read about this maybe a month ago. It has two lenses on the front.
Okay.
One's kind of a 35 millimeter. It's a digital camera. It's a 35 millimeter. And the second lens is like a fisheye lens, like a wide angle.
Okay.
Because one of the problems is in a room, for instance, in the studio, if I wanted to take a picture, I'd have to go all the way to the corner. And even if I zoomed all the way out, I'd maybe get half of the room.
Right.
Just because of the angle of the lens. Well, with this Kodak digital camera that actually has it so you can switch it and do a wide angle. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Like, how do you switch it, though? Is it mechanical or?
I don't know. Just tell
that's
it.
Pretty, that's
I don't
pretty
know.
Sweet.
Push a button. It didn't have that much information.
That's pretty cool, though.
I think it'd be pretty cool because that's one of the problems. You try to get a picture and it doesn't always work the way you want to. So,
hey, do we got a caller?
Yep, we do. Let's go to the phone lines here. Good morning, Brian. You're on with the computer guys.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Good. How you doing, Brian?
I'm all right. Hey, I got a question for you. The other day, my power got booted off to my computer rather suddenly, and I had Outlook Express open, and I fired everything back up, and everything that was in my inbox and my deleted file disappeared. Is there any way to retrieve those?
You use Outlook Express, you said?
Yes.
Okay. What operating system are you running?
XP.
Windows XP. Okay. Well, there's two things that you could try. The easiest, and I don't know, and I guess it is a recommendation. The first thing is I would try Windows System Restore.
Okay.
What do you think, Cam?
Yeah.
Just the easiest first thing to do.
Yep.
If you go to System Recovery, go back like just a day before that happened.
As close to the time as you can.
Yep. And Windows will automatically do these restore points.
Okay.
And that will, if maybe if a setting in Outlook Express got changed or something like that, some sort of problem.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Maybe it just something got, you know, was got corrupted somehow or something. I don't know where the messages would have went, but they got to still be there somewhere.
Yeah, they're located on your computer hard drive there. More than likely, they didn't get deleted from a lightning kicking the power off.
Correct.
But
where is the system restore? Is that...
It's under Start Programs.
Is it up in Accessories?
Yep. System Tools and then System Restore.
Okay, Start. let me start.
Yep.
In fact, I'm sitting right in front of it. Start. One more time.
Yep, Start. Either Programs or All Programs. Yep. I don't know which one. And then Accessories.
Okay, Accessories.
System Tools.
System Tools, got it.
And then it's the last one on there, System Restore.
Got it.
And so it hopefully that's turned on, because if it's not, then you have to figure out something else.
Okay.
But try that. Try going back a day or just the day before lightning struck. Now, the thing about System Restore is it won't delete your documents or emails, things like that.
Okay.
But it'll change back what system settings may have changed since then.
Oh, okay. So in other words, if you save something to your hard drive, that's not affected. It's just...
Right. Yep. It won't delete that.
Okay.
So...
Well, let me try that. If that doesn't work, then I'll drop you an email and ask you what else I can do so I won't take up your time.
Sure. Well, hey, thanks a lot for your call, Brian.
Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Cool.
System Restore can really help out.
Yep, System Restore can help out.
Sometimes. It's not perfect, but it sure is nice.
It is a nice feature to be built in, and I wish it was a little more accurate, but what can you do?
Hey, they made an effort, and I appreciate it.
They did.
The phone lines are open here. Give us a call. The computer guys, it's 842. Taking your calls this morning. Both phone lines are open, 395-1450, so give us a call.
Do you think that would have happened if the hard drive had been a vertical hard drive? And not...
Probably.
Probably. Computers are still going to break.
Yeah. Here, and you know, while we're talking about hard drives, too?
They break.
Well, they do break.
All the time.
More often than you'd think. At the same time, it doesn't happen every day. But if you hear any type of clicking noise in your computer... or your hard drive seems to be getting loud, or you turn it on, and every now and then it says, system disk not found.
Or your computer just uncontrollably shakes.
Yeah, or if it's
moving.
Sometimes if it'll hang while, it'll kind of temporarily lock up while you're using it. Those are possible signs of hard drive failure, and I highly recommend getting it checked out as soon as possible.
If it starts shaking like crazy, my mom always said to just open up the top, so that way it stops the spin cycle.
My dryer did that the other day. Or my washer, I overloaded it, because I don't like to do laundry, so I cram as much in there as I can. And it was shaking, so I went over there, and it was just about done. I thought, all right, I'll just... So I sat on it. It was bouncing around, man. It had a mind of its own. So I had to pull a couple things out.
Oh, well.
It was actually bouncing up and down.
You had to take your Van Halen t-shirt out.
Right? That's right. That was the one that put it over the top. Now, Cam, I always complain about the recording industry.
Yes,
and I'm
yes
sure,
you do.
I'm sure maybe even some of our listeners are tired of me complaining about them. But here's one other story.
I sure am.
Here's one other story. A woman is taking on the recording industry. Think of it as a fight between David and Goliath, in which Goliath is equipped with a really thick helmet. That's the situation Patricia Santangelo finds herself in these days. She's among those accused by the recording industry of illegally downloading copyrighted music from the internet. She wanted to defend herself, but soon found out she couldn't hack it against her huge, well-moneyed opponent. Santangelo is now asking the court to let her bring a lawyer aboard for her case. She claims she never downloaded anything, and if her kids or their friends downloaded music, it was because file sharing software made it easy for them to do so. Santangelo has refused to settle the case, even though the recording industry has offered to make it go away if she paid $3,500. She already spent $24,000 defending herself in court, and that's even with doing a lot of the legal work herself.
I'd make it go away.
Bunch of bullies. I hope she wins, turns around, and sues them.
Hey.
Big jerks.
Yeah, I'd still make it go away.
No way, man. If I didn't download music and they accused me, and if I had kids who were downloading on the computer, and, they say ignorance isn't an excuse for breaking the law, but at the same time, sometimes, I don't know, recording industry is a little sue happy.
Oh, they are a little sue happy.
They're making more money, it seems, these days off suing than selling their music online.
Well, you were... while you were reading that story, I glanced up at the TV and I saw a news program with some kids playing DDR. And I gotta say, that is a workout.
Dance Dance Revolution.
If your kids have Dance Dance Revolution and they use it regularly, you can look for them in the 2016 Olympics.
There is a great video on the website E-Bombs World.
Uh-huh.
A little while back, there's this kid, he was dancing, and he was good. I mean, if you've seen this game, if any of you have seen this game, they have it in arcades.
They put a pad on the floor, and you got to step on, like, colored arrows and things like that right in sync with music.
Yeah.
So it's very physical. You're jumping around.
And there is this one of this kid who obviously didn't look like he was very athletic, and he was moving. I mean, I couldn't even do it this fast. And he did it, and everybody's cheering and clapping, and he walks away, and he trips and falls right in front of her. I just thought, poor kid. He was living his glory. Everybody at the arcade was cheering for him, and he blew it.
That is, whatever. He's still awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty cool thing. And actually, there have been stories about kids who've lost weight doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Lose weight addictive. Playing video games. And on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, I don't know if you caught that.
Better than exercises.
Did you see 60 Minutes?
I did not see 60 Minutes.
There was this, I think it was 60 Minutes. On Sunday night, there was a story about this kid, Fatality.
Yeah, the number one gamer or whatever.
Yeah, and they were talking about how he's made over $300,000 off of winning video games.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now he's the best in the world up against some other kid from the Netherlands.
Yep. Yeah, I've
said he's every parent's worst nightmare. Some kid who's actually making a ton of money playing video games.
His mom told him he couldn't when he was like 11.
Yeah.
He said he'd prove her wrong.
Well, he said he's from Kansas City, and something about his dad said, no, you're not allowed to go. He said, hey, let me go to this one tournament. If I win, we'll keep going. If I lose, I'll never go to another tournament again. And he took first place.
Yeah.
And he won like $1,500.
You know, some of the online games, you can actually catch him playing because he'll always use the same handle. It's like reserved for him.
Really?
Every handle is reserved for him.
Well, I was going to say, otherwise I could go on there and make him look really bad.
Yeah, right.
Hey, guys, for $100 deposited into my account,
one.
And you could play.
He'll be number one.
So I just thought that was kind of a crazy thing. I remember growing up when the joke was always, you know, you're never going to get a scholarship for video games. And who knows? Now there's video game design and everything else.
Get video game schools.
Yeah.
Nintendo has an entire school for it.
Do they really?
Yeah. Yeah, you can apply. It's pretty hard to get in. But they'll teach you everything you need to know about drawing Mario.
There you go. All right.
Price.
We talked a little bit about digital cameras earlier.
Yes, we did.
And as nice as they are, one of the problems is that you have to have a USB cable most of the time, and you have to reach, if you have a desktop computer, you've got to reach way in the back, plug it in. Now you can leave that cable
there.
They're
going there. Bluetooth, aren't they?
Well, they're not. This is about a 15-in-1 high-speed reader. Now, you can get 13-in-1, but this is 15-in-1 now. These days, just about every kind of digital device, from still cameras to music players to video recorders, uses some kind of memory card to store data. If you have more than one of these devices, it seems that no two use the exact same card, which can be a real headache when it comes to transferring all the stuff to your computer. Now there's a device that can be the equivalent of... cyber aspirin. That doesn't make any sense. Stories. Okay, so anyway, Kingston's technology offers a card reader that can handle 15 different types of memory cards, ranging from the biggest compact flash cards to those postage-sized, stamp-sized mini SD discs. Not only does it deal with more than a dozen types of card formats, it does so quickly thanks to a USB 2.0 port. It can run on either Windows or Mac, and it's small enough to be portable.
Wow. You know what that reminds me of? Okay. Cyber aspirin. Just making a joke. Sorry.
Well, that was kind of a bad joke.
Sorry. Well, that's for my cyber headache.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Good morning, Eugene. You're on with the computer guys.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Finest frog hairs and yourself.
You doing what?
Finest frog hairs.
I've never heard that one. Well, I'm doing pretty well here.
That's how fine I am. Have you ever seen a frog's hair?
No, I have not.
That's how fine it is. You talk about that kid that plays computer games and wins at it all the time.
Yep.
My son got an Xbox for Christmas.
Okay.
And to watch him play that, he's 10 years old. His fingers and thumbs are going places three times faster than I meant he can move mine.
Isn't that true? It's amazing.
And, I mean, they've got to memorize the joystick first.
Yep, yep.
And then while they're watching the game go on, their hands never stop.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it keeps them limber. And translate that in 4 years to typing.
Yeah.
On a keypad.
Now you just got to get him that Dance Dance Revolution game. Then you'll see his feet moving as well.
Yeah. And the whole house.
Yeah. Put it in the basement there.
I just want to let you guys know that because I've always said, you ain't going to ever get nowhere doing them kind of things. But when I watched my son and my nephew do it, you can't keep up with their fingers.
Now, here's the question. Now, have you tried to play any games against these guys who are 10?
Yes, I have.
You feel pretty inadequate when you play against them?
They spank me bad.
Well, I remember when we got our first Nintendo, and my dad would probably argue this now, but granted, the kids play a little bit more than the adults, but it's a little bit of a difference, to say the least.
Yes.
So, well, that's pretty funny. Well, thanks for your call, Eugene. Yes. If he starts getting sore thumbs, he can always just, I remember too, the problem with these video games is if you play them too much, you start to get sore thumbs.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll become, you just have to use a different part of your thumb. That's the key.
He'll start using his feet.
Exactly.
All right, you guys have a good one now.
Yeah, thanks, you too.
Bye now.
You know, my first video game, Dave, was on Christmas of like 1991 or whatever. I got up that morning. I got up probably at like 7:30, all excited, right? I went out into the living room, and there my dad is. And there's like packaging unwrapped on the floor.
Uh-huh.
He's sitting in his chair playing Tetris. He unwrapped my Game Boy and played Tetris.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Cruel. You know, I think my dad might have snuck down in the basement a couple times when we were kids afterwards and practiced a little bit.
He was a little too good.
Well,
or not.
I think he was embarrassed that he wasn't as good as we were. He didn't want to show up. But I do remember the one thing he was really good at was in Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
You had a little, it was like a, what do you call it? There was like the three things, the three boxes. It was like, a slot machine type of thing.
Yep.
It was in Super Mario Brothers, and you always had to get like three cherries in a row. He was really good at
it. He always do it.
It was pretty hilarious. He would take this, a bag, because there were three of them, and it could kind of confuse you. The first one went slow, second one a little faster, and the third one really slow, really fast. And so he would take a little, what do you call those things? A paper bag from the grocery store, cut out a box in it, and he'd put it over the TV so he could concentrate on just one at a time. he may not remember that, but I knew that was pretty funny. So, that kids and video games, who knows? Now they'll be going to college on scholarship for that.
That's right.
They didn't have that
for
me.
I just went there to play.
Phone lines are open here. Now you're listening to the Computer Guys in 1450. If you want to give us a call, our phone number is 395-1450. We'd like to hear from you here. Also, we have an email address, computerguys@whtc.com. Well, Cam, got any other stories? You got?
I got a good one.
I got a whole stack today.
I know you do. But I'll read this one instead. Eavesdropping in the electronic age. That one sounds interesting, doesn't it, Dave? With cell phones, instant messages, emails, and other kinds of digital communication available in most parts of the world, we don't communicate with each other anything like we used to. And that means those who want to eavesdrop on what we say and write have to change their methods. For example, in days past, a person could steam open an envelope to read someone's email or someone's mail. Whoa, I keep screwing up. Or attach alligator clips to copper telephone wire to hear what is being said. But now electronic messages are converted into digital data before they are sent roaring across the internet and other systems. That is proving to be a challenge to people like law enforcement officials who may have a good reason to check out what criminals who would be are up to. But critics of such surveillance say even in the post 9/11 world, there have to be safeguards firmly in place so our privacy isn't overrun in the name of keeping people safe. And that goes a line with everything that's going on with the Patriot Act, and et cetera, isn't it?
Yep. And actually, that's a funny story that you bring that up, because I think Pete Hoekstra is going to be on the next show.
Is he?
And, yep. And he's on called the House Intelligence Committee.
Ah.
And so he deals with this stuff all the time. And, you know, when you hear about different things like government spying, I don't know. On one hand, you have to be careful. But at the same time, I mean, because technology advances, you know, you still have to have ways to gather evidence against people or intelligence, different things like that. So,
right.
I think it's a little bit of a balancing act. Obviously, there's some people who don't want the government to know anything. Some people who would be happy to give up all their
freedoms,
all their freedoms. So it's a fine line there. I think of it tough. I think so.
I agree. It's one of those tough issues.
So, hold on. Where was one here? And that's kind of like spyware here. We've got it. The customers are always complaining about spyware.
Spyware and adware.
It is frustrating, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, here we have, actually, I had two stories on that. The first one is corporate-backed site to inform spyware. What is the difference between adware, spyware, and malware? A new website is gearing up to educate computer users about the differences between the annoying computer programs. The site is being backed by money from Google, Sun, and a Chinese computer maker. It's designed to be a place where people can go to get up-to-date information about the various pieces of software that are loaded on hard drives as one surfs the internet or installs programs on their computers. The site contains information from researchers from both Harvard and Oxford universities. Recent studies have found that internet users have become more aware of the dangers from spyware and adware, which can bombard users with pop-up ads and suck the processing power right out from a computer and point that it becomes unusable. And I tell you what, that's when people get them fixed. Once they become unusable.
That's right.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Good morning, Barbara. You're on with the computer guys.
Good morning. I had a question concerning Adobe Ultra Deluxe Home Edition.
Okay.
And it'll let me. It was working. You know, I have it for a couple of years, and it was working great. And all of a sudden, it's just not cooperative. You can rotate or size a picture, but you can't repair it or edit it. You know, or use the brushes or the tools. I uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and that didn't help.
Okay, so all those features were available before.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, and what operating system do you have on your computer?
XP.
Windows XP. Mm-hmm. Well, this is just a guess, but it could be that Microsoft Windows came out with some sort of update that's causing problems on this. You can check Adobe's website, and a lot of times they'll give you updates. Program now
patches.
That's just a guess.
Yep.
Well, sounds like a good one to me.
Well, that's where I would start. So check out their website, adobe.com.
Go to their support or download section.
Yeah, I probably check support first and just type in, what exact program it is that you have.
Okay.
And a lot of times there's frequently asked questions or different things like that. There may even be one that says, "Hey, all my icons disappeared. Now I can't do this." Okay. And then you click on that, and it'll give you the answer.
All right. Thank you very much.
So hopefully that'll help. If not, send us an email or give us a call next week.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, I hope I'm right, because that's kind of a weird problem.
How was that? She had icons up top.
Well, it just before she was allowed to do all these different functions, and now some of those
has
functions
gone
are
away.
Gone.
Yep. Yeah, I would also check the view bar and then go to toolbars and see what's listed if some of the painting utilities and whatnot aren't there.
Good point. Also, I was under the assumption that they were there, but you wasn't able to click on them. Should've clarified.
I was under that assumption as well until you said your last statement. So I thought,
hopefully she'll send us an email or give us a call.
Maybe I'd go that way
next week. So, but either way, hopefully Adobe.com can help out.
Yep. Well, it's that time again.
It is 9 o'clock. It's end of another Computer Guys show here. Yeah. Don't go back to bed, though. Well, thanks to our callers today. Thanks especially to our listeners. And if you weren't able to get through this week, we'll be back next week at 8:30. Kevin will be gone. So if you have a question for him, wait one more week.
But just us.
Give us a call. We're the Computer Guys from Mactel Technologies. Our office number is 394-4940. We are in the yellow pages. Give us a call during the week if you have any questions. Thanks to everybody, and we'll be back next week.
Listening to another hour of the Holland Area's News and Information Station, 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
CBS News, I'm Steve Kathan.
Liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.